Litcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Welcome to Litcast Slovakia. My name is Julia Sherwood, and my guest in today's penultimate episode of this podcast is Martin Janeček. Martin Janeček is Deputy Director of Karolinum Press in Prague, the publishing arm of Charles University, which publishes a range of books from natural sciences to humanities, including translations of scholarly works on literature, history of culture, linguistics, and philosophy. Martin Janeček has been with the press since 1999, and is responsible for its foreign language titles and the commissioning editor of its acclaimed Modern Czech Classics series, which started in 2003. Hello, Martin. Can you hear me and are you well?
Hello, Julia. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming and for finding time to come on the podcast. I know that you have been very busy in spite of the pandemic. It seems that Karolinum Press hasn't been affected too badly. Is that right?
Yes, thank you. We have been affected pretty much as every publisher, but because we operate the whole publishing chain, including a very well-functioning e-shop, which operates internationally, we seem to have managed so far quite well. Of course, we had to adapt many times. We keep adapting like everyone is. And it was also a important point in time to realize that we do need to make some substantial changes, namely to speed up our digitalization process. We publish basically everything we do as e-books, parallel e-books, print and e-books. It seems like ages now, but a different era really, but the autumn of 2019 was I think the busiest autumn for us in terms of author readings, book presentations, and various scholarly panels. All that ended in spring 2020, as it did for anyone. So we are very much looking forward to coming back to this busy community and scholarly communications. Hopefully, we'll be talking in person in the next London, at the next London Book Fair, perhaps even at the Frankfurt Book Fair in this October.
That would be nice.
Yes, that would be a huge change again. Another important aspect of what we do is the pandemic has changed all the traditional timing for publishing. We distribute with University of Chicago Press our English books, and that is fairly rigorous process in terms of what needs to be done when, and it's all planned, and we really have to work hard for 9 months before the publication to time it right, to really use that window of attention on the American market, and that has changed entirely, because just to ship the books over the ocean and now is so unpredictable that we have to really sort of dance around deadlines and be far more flexible.
Well, I hope it won't actually affect your Modern Czech Classics series too much, which is what I'd like to talk to you about next. So can you tell us how that series came about and how many titles have appeared since it started?
Well, one of the advantages of the series is that we only publish authors who are no longer alive. It's one of the definitions of classics. So if we have delays caused by the pandemics, the authors won't get angry with us. It seems that especially this series has been doing quite well during pandemics, because many students and like everyone had to study more from home. Like we all had more time to read, so the classics lists were doing quite well. The series, as you already mentioned, started in 2003 with rather popular title, Saturnin by Zdeněk Jirotka, which traditionally doesn't is not included into the Czech literary canon, but is and has been on the top of the favorite lists of Czech readers for quite a few decades now. So our founder and director, Jaroslav Jirsa, who came to help university publishing in the middle of the 90s, had good contacts from Československý and then later Český spisovatel, and had the idea of translating Saturnin into English, which was basically an experiment at the time. And we have now sold more than 10,000 copies, and this book really is one of the pillars of the whole series, because we translated Saturnin into 11 other languages apart from English, including Slovak, by the way. Lubomir Feldek translated it beautifully. And Saturnin keeps helping funding the series, so we are very glad that the series is largely independent and we can publish both commercially successful titles as well as more perhaps artistically challenging literary texts.
So how many titles have you had so far?
Well, I did count it. It's 20 titles so far, including one poetry title, which we are really proud to be able to include poetry in the fiction, in our fiction list. We also opened about 2 years ago a scholarly section, like secondary texts about literature. We have texts on Bohumil Hrabal or on Czechoslovak underground literature. And we also published some books in German, French, Italian, but that's rather a different story. At this point, we have 13 titles in translation or in some at some stage of the publishing process, which we are really proud of. That's the largest number we've ever had. And what we are particularly proud of is that three of these coming books are have been written by a female author, or the so-called female authors, which I know you've been promoting for quite some time.
So what other titles have been most successful, and do you have any personal favorites?
It's difficult to say what is success here, because we are trying to create a collection of texts which are meant to help international Slavistics departments. So we really want the teachers or academics abroad to have the option to tailor their teaching programs according to their students and to the topics of the time that they want to choose. So we are trying for this series to be as diverse as possible, and it's a series which is really a service. We don't have a panel selecting best of Czech literature, or it's not a traditional Czech literary canon series. It's rather a series where we talk to translators and academics in various foreign universities or universities here in Prague, because Czech literature is being taught in English in Prague in several programs. So, but if I'd like to make perhaps next to Saturnin mention Vladislav Ančura, Summer of Caprice. That was Manuela. That was one of the first titles, and this title is traditionally seen by many Czechs as untranslatable. And there's this notion that only people born and bred in Prague and can understand fully the beauty of Ančura's language, and we took it on board as one of the myths we would like to change, because I don't believe there is such a thing as non-translatable literature. In fact, I think it's rather odd notion to believe that only some selected people can understand something. So next to Saturnin, there is also Vanchura as an important pillar to this series, and it also coincides with the founding translators, so to speak, because we have Mark Korner, who is so beautifully translated both Jirotka and Vanchura. And then the next one in line was David Short's translation of Hrabal, of Pirouettes on the Postage Stamp. But if I should perhaps mention a few other titles, then we were very proud by Vladislav Fuchs's Cremator, who at one point, thanks to Rajendra Chitnis's program in Bristol for like open university type of program, at one point the Cremator was read by 11,000 students online globally.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which we thought is quite interesting. When you actually go out of the traditional Czech literary studies and rather concentrate on broader social context, as Rajendra did. And my personal favorite, perhaps, if I can, we've worked really hard on Ludvík Vaculík's Český snář, the Czech dream book, and it had really a great lineup of reviews and support, but it was released in February 2020, so all the great work kind of couldn't be used, and I really believe this is one of the titles which can open a really good discussion on modern Czech history, in Slovak for that part, history, and on really many subjects. We were lucky to just at the last, before the pandemic, in February, there was a nice event organized by Czech Central London, and there was a nice panel on Vaculík, and I believe that you may have been present there as well.
I was, and I think it may have been one of the last literary events I attended before the pandemic. And actually, some sad news. This event was held at the Free Word Center, which has no longer exists. It closed about a month ago.
Oh, that is
very sad
news.
Yes, it was a great, great venue. Now, some of the authors you published, like Hašek or Fuchs, their books were also published in the 1950s and 1960s by Artea, which was a foreign language publishing house that focused on popular scientific literature, art books for children and young adults, but also they commissioned translations of works by many classic and contemporary Czech and some Slovak authors. And they marketed them internationally, but the books didn't really sell well, and the Artea publishing house no longer exists. Do you happen to know what happened to their backlist and who holds the rights to these translations? This is a question that someone's been asking me. And also, do you see yourselves in some way as a continuation of this project? And how did you manage to succeed where Artea failed?
Well, thank you. But it was a rather different project, the old Artea, I think. It's been not just a publisher, but also it was basically run by the Ministry of Commerce and foreign commerce. It was one of the podniky zahraničního obchodu, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So their task was to export and partly import, but mainly export sort of Czech culture or art artifacts. So they were exporting things like post stamps or Czech garments, and literature was, I think, just part of it, in the 50s and 60s, I think it was rather more of a display window rather than real publishing business, and that's why they may have closed down. On the other hand, they did have extensive contacts with international or English publishers, and later they really concentrated on a very totally commercial basis on high quality books for children or art books, and they did a lot of co-editions with international publishers like Bertelsmann. So the level of like industry knowledge and trade was quite high there. In terms of the backlist, the Czech publishers don't hold the author rights typically. They stay with the authors, which in this case mainly means with the translators. Most of the authors are already public domain, but the translations would be protected, and my guess would be that they are represented by Delia, as you know. And of course, there would be quite a few projects which we would like to revisit and consider for republication. We just didn't want to start doing that before, when we still have quite a long waiting list of living translators and living projects. But a lot of what Artia did would make sense to have a look at again and republish, perhaps. So it is a normal standard practice of university process to do that. If we know that text is being used in teaching, the technology today is such that we can and should make texts available in the long term, and the Czech and Slovak publishing has suffered greatly by all the historic events of the 20th century. The traditional, all of the traditional publishers have disappeared, and many good publishing projects disappeared with them. So I think it's part of the cultural mission for our generation to revisit and look after this heritage, because there are many outstanding translators, like Emanuel Frente was working for Artia as well, and his book on Schweigo, another one on Kafka, I think should be promoted again. It's still valid. So, our strategy, well, as I mentioned before, we try to mainly be a service to translators and academics. As a university press, that's what it's kind of in your founding charter. And we do support the series by occasional grant programs. And we are trying to, we have a really great distribution and are trying to work closely with university departments and Czech centers to not just publish or not just print a book or not just sell it, but really make it part of the academic and perhaps also broader debate.
I think you're doing a great job in that. Also, the fact that you make sure that the translations are all of superb quality and very carefully edited, and each book that you publish includes a scholarly introduction or afterword. So, you mentioned universities and students. So is that your main target audience, students and scholars of Czech literature? Or are you also interested in attracting wider readership?
I think both. But it has been quite surprising for us that even though we publish with Chicago and we distribute to every continent, roughly about half of the books always sell here in Prague. And Prague has become, after we've lost almost every minority we've ever lived with, Prague has become a cosmopolitan city again. And not only a lot of people of non-Czech origin live here, but also also there are many bilingual or bicultural families here. And another factor is that English has become the new lingua franca for the whole region. So that's why we think a lot of the English books actually sell quite well here in Prague, and we see it as part of our mission to give this region another voice which is internationally accessible, like Central European University, rest in peace, in Budapest, was publishing with a quite similar approach to bring regional artworks or regional scholarship to the international audience. So that's exactly what we are trying to do here. And I'm very happy that we can communicate in English with our Polish readers, and hopefully also with Czech or Slovakia is a bit different, because there still exists a Czechoslovak market, not just Czech and Slovak, but I think we know that a lot of our books are actually sold by Slovak bookshops, and there are very many Slovak students here in Prague who commute or live in both countries. So for them, it's not only Czech and Slovak, but also English is a good connecting language.
Interesting. So you mentioned Slovaks who live in Prague, so that takes us very nicely to my next question, which is the great news that you are planning a new series, Modern Slovak Classics, in English translation. And so as someone who's born in and grew up in Czechoslovakia, and really a Czechoslovak in spirit, I'm very, very happy about this. And so has this decision been driven by some kind of a Czechoslovak nostalgia, or is it a belief in some deeper and enduring Czech-Slovak links?
Well, first of all, this has been long overdue. It has been on our minds for quite some time, but as it happens in real life, there's always more work than one wishes. And so we are very happy to actually now be already working on real translations and real texts and with real people, not just thinking about it. I would perhaps define the topic from a different angle. If you teach in a Slavic department anywhere in the world, you would teach the region, and not only as a like in terms of area studies, but Rajendra or other academics we talk to, they have to know quite in detail both of the literatures, and they were actually for a formative time a part of one literature, if we can say so. So from the point of view, from the international point of view, it's so natural that it's actually surprising that we haven't started and conceived the series this way. We are very happy that we are including now one translation from German to English, because it's Lebuša Moníková, because German is as much part of this region as is Czech or Slovak. And if you think about Slavic departments or the traveling students from America or from anywhere who spent a semester in Florence and next few weeks in Budapest and then part in Prague, it makes sense to publish for the region, so to speak.
So can we now focus on the planned new Slovak series, and can you tell us what kind of books you'll publish, both in terms of period and genre, and also share some information about specific titles that are being planned.
Well, I think you are being a bit too modest here, Julia, because you have actually worked on this plan with us, and most of the suggestions and knowledge and enthusiasm comes from you. So we are very glad that you are helping us and Slovak literature in this way. And I particularly was very happy and I feel quite enriched by reading authors I didn't know before you suggested them to me. And so we'd like to keep the series active, which means publishing a book or two every year, and mm-hmm. we hope to be able to do it continually. So we don't want to, you know, as some publishers or projects work, they acquire a team and a grant perhaps and publish 10 titles just as an experiment, and if it sells, then they'll continue. But we really wanted to do it for a long run and in a sustainable way, so, and really build up a community or an ecosystem of people who know that when they start translating and working on a project, then it'll be seen through and it'll be available in 10, 20 years. Because all of these classics, you know, when you read them, we always are looking for a contemporary interpretation of it's always contemporary, even though the texts were written in the past, but there are just so many beautiful texts in Slovak, which we hope to be working on for quite some time. You are now translating Jan Johanides, so that might be better if you could say something about that.
So if I could
say something about the text or the author.
Oh, well, it's Jan Johanides, Trestajúci zločin, the crime that punishes. It's a novella which basically talks about crimes committed under communism, but about those who are guilty for committing them, but about victims being guilty at the same time, and also how this cycle of crime continues, because the book is set in the years after the end of communism. So very unusual text, quite difficult to translate, but I hope it's going to work out well.
Well, we know this text is being used with, like in readings, in close readings with students, and I quite understand why. It's really a very dense text, bringing opening quite important contemporary questions. I'm really looking forward to reading your translation.
It's quite soon. And so what's next?
Well, we have been really taken, Jan Rozner 7 dní do pohreba made the best impression on me and my colleagues here, because it's just opened a whole new world and comparison to the Czech descent, as we read in Český snář. So Sedem dní do pohreba is a nice counterpart to Vaculík, and it just comprises so much of modern Slovak history or experience. So that's one of our favorites on the list too. And only recently we have been discussing in more detail Geza Vámošišť's Atome Boha. So I'm really looking forward to another discussion with you on that topic. And there are a few other books we are thinking about together with you, of course.
Okay, so it's probably too early to announce more specific titles at this stage.
It's a pragmatic process before you know the rights are available and quite a few other steps, so we don't want to disappoint us or anyone.
Yes, well, but this, or we already have something to look forward to. For me, some work to look forward to. I think we've probably come to the end of our time. So thank you so much for this conversation, and I wish you a nice summer, and I hope that everything will reopen very soon.
Well, I'm very much thank you for the invitation again, and I'm very much looking forward to reenacting this conversation in more detail in person at some of the coming book fairs or book presentations in London,
Yes,
Prague,
wouldn't that be
or
wonderful?
Bratislava.
Wonderful. Okay, so let's look forward to it together.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank
and bye.
you. Bye bye.